You are listening to Heavenly Warriors, the podcast for anyone who wants to learn the deeper supernatural truths not taught in most mainstream churches. Your hosts are best-selling author and guests on shows like The History Channel and Coast to Coast AM, Dr. Joy Jeffries Pugh, and me, a former atheist cop turned exorcist and author. This podcast is brought to you by my newest book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons, which can be found at rickbellwriting.com, RickBellWriting.com, and by Dr. Joy Jeffrey Pugh's newest book, Beast Mark, which you can find at drjoy.com. That's drjoye.com. Whether you believe in the devil and demons or not doesn't matter to them. In fact, demons prefer you don't believe, so you'll never know what's hitting you when they attack. The truth is, we have invisible enemies who want to rob us, attack our families with sickness and addictions, and cause us to struggle financially. We want to help you become a stronger and smarter heavenly warrior. Boy, that is so true, Dr. Joy. We have invisible enemies who want to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy everything we try to work for and work towards. And that is the reality. And you and I were visiting about the show today. And, you know, the truth is we don't get a paycheck to come on and do this. We have nothing to gain but giving the information that we know. We don't think, we know in whom we have believed. This is the message that we've been sent to deliver for this time, this season. And for those of you, as the Bible says, who have ears to hear, let them hear this. Now, we get into subjects that are never touched in church. They're not going to be touched from the church pew. That's seven more episodes in all of itself. The church, largely the model of the church, is a business model. It has bills to pay, and therefore there are certain things that you can say that are not going to aggravate the demons in the people sitting in the pews. So those are the things that the pastor is going to tend to want to say and not touch on certain subjects that aggravate, irritate people in the congregation who have demonic strongholds. Look, we're not pulling any punches here because that would be devastating to you. It would be like us running a cardiac fitness facility for people who have heart problems, serious heart issues, coming to us, and we would have them as their treatment sit on a couch, eat Krispy Kreme donuts, and drink chocolate milk. And that's what we would say, well, that's gonna help your heart. No, well, they're going to feel good when they do it. They're going to like it. They're going to leave there going, God, I feel so good, because they're on a sugar high. And then 20 minutes later, they're going to crash and they're going to feel terrible and depressed. That's the way it is with these teachings. We're telling you things that can help you. And you have to get this foundational subject, this topic we are going to talk about today. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. In fact, when you try to share this with some of your Christian friends, they're going to look at you like you have three heads. But I'm telling you, try to turn off your indoctrination. I was raised in this stuff the same way from the time I was 21. I was an atheist, and I became a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, and I began to be raised in this doctrinal stuff. But they leave out what we're going to tell you today. But when you hear it, if you will simply open your mind up and have ears to hear, it will make complete clear sense to you. I'm getting ready to hand it over to you, Dr. Joy, but the question that I had years ago, the Lord showed me, I was all into religion and church stuff and doing all that and all the TV ministries, and because I'm an accomplished professional musician, I ended up, you know, doing some things at evangelistic revivals and things like that with some fairly well-known, if I call their name, you'd know. But I never knew any of the things that we're going to talk about today. But for you to be able to have power and overcome the forces of darkness that are compiling and arraying against you, you're going to have to understand what the Garden of Eden was really all about. And when you hear it, it's going to make sense if you just think about it logically. The question I had was, and until you can answer this, you can put all the other social activities at church on pause. You can pause all that stuff until you can answer this question, Dr. Joy. Who built the pyramids? How did they build them? And why did they build them? When modern technology cannot answer that question, Houston, we have a problem. The Lord told me, hey, until that question can be answered, you're living in darkness. You don't know what's going on. You don't really know how things really work. Apparently, there's a whole separate universe that's going on around us. Somehow they built the pyramids when they didn't have a crane. There was no tools available to them to get those blocks that weighed as much as 40 cars each, roll them up a hill. Look, mathematically, if you study what the pyramid dimensions are, it's mathematically perfect. And they had no calculators in those days. They had no computer. There's no way even engineers today could calculate to the nearest inch like they did on these things. And they're all, that's a whole thing. Look it up and study it. Somehow those pyramids were built. And that leads me to understand that there's a whole nother world of things we don't know about, we've not been taught. And no one's asking questions about that. One of those questions is this, Dr. Joy. What is an apple and taking a bite of an apple have to do with anything in life that we have experienced? Then there's a lot more to that bite of the apple thing than has been taught. I'm going to give it to you, my friend. I've set it up now. I'm going to dump it in your lap. Here you go. Take off.
Listen, Rick, when I first really started trying to study the book of Revelation, and that was what I really wanted, and I felt God was leading me to talk to people about what was going to happen at the end. And I remember sitting at my table and had been doing some extensive research about the old dragon, the old serpent. And it mentions him in the book of Revelation. It says he was with us from the beginning. He was in Eden. So I was like, okay. And I was sitting there and I just felt God speak to me. He said, if you're going to understand the book of Revelation, you have got to understand the book of Genesis. To understand the ending, you've got to understand the beginning. And, you know, I was kind of like, okay, what does that mean? I mean, we all had seen pictures of Adam and Eve in the tree and a snake wrapped in the tree, and he's got an apple and he's trying to give it to Eve and all this kind of stuff. I mean, we were taught that as children.
Right.
You know, so I'm thinking, what does that have to do with the end of time? But then it kept eating at me, because it was saying the book of Revelation has this serpent, this old dragon. And a serpent and a dragon is not like a rattlesnake. So that was the first thing. It was like, okay. So when I sat down to do the research in Genesis, I was sitting at the table one day doing that research. And I'm like, okay, where does it say snake? Mm-hmm. Whoa. The word snake does not appear. It says serpent. So I went back and read in Revelation where it talks about that old serpent, the dragon. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to look up what serpent and dragon look like. And, you know, you can find pictures of this, what I call lizardy-like looking thing. And it's big, you know, and it's powerful and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this really doesn't add up. And so I went back and looked at what was Satan like when he was Lucifer. And so you're kind of like, you're looking at it and trying to find out. He wasn't too bad looking. We know he was kind of emulating God. wanting to be God in heaven is the reason he got kicked out, along with a third of his angels. And so we start looking at the book of Genesis, and you see where God has got everything good, 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 good. You go all down through good, good, good. You get to this point where God says, okay, Adam, we've got a problem here. Do not do this.
Right.
Up until that time, everything was wonderful. It was said everything was good. And now we got something called a tree of good and evil that has knowledge that you are to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the rest of the trees that were good for food to eat from. And you're not really told that there's any fruit on there. So when I'm looking at that, I'm going, where's the apple? Oh my gosh, where is the word apple at on this tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Right.
Honey, I go back through, reread, go further into Genesis, trying to think, well, there's an apple, there's an apple.
There has to be an apple. Where's the apple?
Where's the apple? Okay, I'm figuring it out. Okay, now there's a serpent. It's not a snake. This thing is a tree that's emulating Jesus. It's been told by God, to stay away from it. Don't touch it. Don't mess with it. Don't involve yourself. And it's in the midst of the garden, just like the tree of life is. It's a little different. You're not really told to participate or do anything with it, not to touch it, not to do anything. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, this is pretty interesting. And then I note that before Adam and Eve actually encounter this tree in chapter 3. In chapter 2, it says that God marries Adam and Eve. And I had never paid attention that there was holy matrimony between these two individuals. And I'm going, I never paid attention to that. It says they were unashamed, they were naked, and that a man shall leave his mother and cling to his wife. And, mm-hmm. So this is true marriage, holy matrimony between a man and a woman. And they're perfectly, everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, this issue with the tree, they go and get involved with it. And it says serpent. And that he is the most beguiling, intelligent beast of the field. So I started looking up the words, like, what does that really mean? And when you look up beguiled, it means that you're enticing someone sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of like, okay. So then I can't find the apple, and I'm like, what did they eat? What did they eat? Well, I keep reading on down through there, and I get to the point where I'm reading about God coming up on them after they have supposedly eaten with the serpent, which I found was very interesting because I'd always felt like that Eve was eating the apple. She got some more apples and took the apples to the mm-hmm. cave where Adam was
mm-hmm.
Because it never tells you that they were both there together. And in the stories, it was always, she bit the apple and took the apples back to Adam and he ate. Well, I realized that he was right there with her. And I realized that Adam always plays the role of what Jesus plays to the bride of the church, and that he had been told not to do that. Why didn't he take his wife and say, let's go?
Mm-hmm.
But he did not do that. So then I see where they eat with this serpent, and all of a sudden they're putting these fig leaves on them. And I'm like, okay, there's no apple. And what did they just do? That if they ate an apple, if I walked in and my mother had cookies on the table before we have supper, she would say, okay, Joy and Gay, my sister was named Gay. And she would say, don't get in those cookies now because it's going to mess up your supper. I don't want you in the cookies. Well, the moment she walks out, you know how little kids are.
Oh,
we're
going to
get one of those cookies. We just want one of those cookies more than anything. So we get the cookie. Well, she walked back in. Would I have put my hands over my private parts?
No. What is
I would have put them over
leaf?
My mouth.
Yeah, what does a fig leaf over your private parts have to do with an apple? Now, logically, why would all of a sudden their private parts be any different from their elbows or from their knee? Or from their ear? Why? Well, what about your pride? There's only two of you there. There's no one else.
And you're already naked.
You're
in
already
the
naked. You know, like that television show, Naked and whatever it's called, Afraid. They're out in the wilderness naked. Look, what are you covering your private parts? Because it all had to do with that private part, not just the private sexual part. The reproductive, the sexual act of bringing forth a bloodline, a DNA corruption. That's what it, that's the only thing that makes sense. What does an apple have to do with a fig leaf over your crotch? Go ahead.
Well, you know, that was a real revelation. Because I'm sitting there going, I would put my hand over my mouth if I had just eaten something. Why would they be doing this? Because they had been married. They were naked. They were not ashamed in chapter 2. And now all of a sudden, after encountering this serpent that they've eaten with, and then I started looking up, what does that mean? What could they have been eating? And then I saw how God came in. He said, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan, and her seed, Eve, and it shall bruise thy head, Satan, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm like, oh, isn't that a little weird? Because it seems that, you know, in Mosaic law, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So in other words, why is God getting into this seed line stuff?
Yeah.
Which, when I looked it up, seed line, seeds are always lineages. Throughout Scripture, there's like 250 verses of things about seeds, and it's all about lineages.
Yes.
And so I'm sitting there going, oh, this is just really strange. Why would God be condemning a seed line? I mean, what could have happened to cause the seed line? And it's talking about a seed line, thy seed, which is Satan's seed, against her seed. And so then I keep looking at it, and I see that he's going to make Eve have to be having this terrible affliction and punishment for having in going into conception. And what was the use in using the word conception? And then he uses the word, you have to desire your husband. And I'm going, why would an apple that you swallowed through your mouth? I could understand if he said, your digestive system is going to make you sick, and every time you do this, you're going to throw up. And I could see an eye for an eye going after what you ate, literally.
Yes.
But why was he going after childbirth and an adulterous type thing when he talks about you will desire your husband?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, this is interesting, because you go a little bit further and all of a sudden Adam has this relationship after she has eaten with the serpent. It says she gave to the serpent first, and then she turned around and she gave to her husband, who was with her.
Mm-hmm.
He was right there. He should have stopped the whole problem. Anyway, what that meant in my mind, I'm just sitting at the table going, oh, my gosh. She had a sexual act. So I looked up the word eat in the Hebrew text, went back and tried to look, and sure enough, in that particular area of Scripture, it means a sexual act.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. Nobody knows this. Rick, I'm going, oh, my gosh, I've never heard this. Nobody knows this. This is actually tragic. This is terrible. So then I said to myself, okay, Lord, if that's what happened, then that means she had a sexual act with this serpent. And then she turned around and she had a sexual act with her husband. So I looked at Cain. He's born first, and then out pops Abel, and it's not like there's two times of an event happening. And I'm like, oh, this means they were twins.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, dear. So then I thought, Lord, help me here. Just help me. Because I was literally shaking, and tears were running down my eyes, because I'm thinking nobody has thought of it, because I had never heard anything of this nature.
Oh, I thought it was crazy when it came to me. The Lord showed me these things. I said, there's no way. I'm losing my mind. I think I ate too much pepperoni pizza yesterday or something.
Well, it was just everything was being confirmed. And so then I said, Lord, if I can prove this in the medical, scientific field, I will justifiably understand exactly what happened in the garden. So I went into the medical literature and I said, find me if there's ever been a woman who had a boyfriend during an afternoon fun thing away from her husband, had sex, and within, let's say, an hour or 30 minutes, went home to her husband to cover up what she had done in case she got pregnant, and that she could say, oh, yeah, you remember, honey, we had sexual experience that night.
Right.
And so I'm pregnant. Well, what happened when I started doing the research, that there were case studies, proven case medical records, where a woman had done just that. And when she went into delivering her babies, they were being born like twins.
Absolutely.
But the thing about it was, the first baby to pop out, the DNA matched her and the boyfriend.
That's right.
And the second baby that comes out had the DNA that matched her and her husband.
That's right.
Now, that is a medical proven fact.
Factual.
And anybody can look it up, whatever they want to do. It is a proven medical fact.
And it has happened many times, actually.
It's happened many times. And most people, if they didn't, you know, really go and check on it and just thought it was, she delivered children and thought it was their children. But anyway, it's called heteropaternal. And it's, and the next word, I can't pronounce it. It's S-U-P-E-R-F-E-C-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N.
Wow.
And you can look it up. And that is in the medical field, the cases of twins being conceived at the same time period from two different fathers.
Fact.
So now you're like, okay, isn't it interesting that Cain has this psychological tendency? He's got a sociopath. He's
That's
a
right.
killer. He's a person that doesn't do what God says, and yet his family's been cast out of Eden because of something that really brought about their demise over a tree and eating this fruit. And so when you look at it, you go, if Adam had his rib removed to make Eve, what I went into the medical record to find, where is the most purest DNA that you can take from a person? Would you believe the rib?
Oh my gosh.
So the rib is where he used the DNA to make Eve, meaning that their DNA was pure. There was there was nothing in it that was defective or genetically predispositioning anything like sociopathic tendencies.
Right. Pure.
So then I went in and I said, okay, Lord, help me understand this. Is there anything in the medical establishment that will tell us that you can, if you have a genetic predisposition to something, that it will show up in your children for things like killers and things of that, sociopaths? Sure enough, Rick, proven science facts. So I'm like, how could Cain have been born like that? So then the next thing I said to myself, let me look at the lineage. Where is Cain mentioned in Adam's lineage? Nowhere. And when you find what it says about Cain, it says he is of his father, the devil.
Oh.
And then on top of that, when he kills Abel, he has no remorse whatsoever
sociopathic
for his so-called brother. And he's talking to the creator himself. Who else was like that? Satan. He defied God. So then when Adam and Eve, interesting enough, had their second child after Abel, which would be the third total child for Eve, they named him Seth. And what does the Hebrew say that Seth's name means? In the likeness of his father. Why are we told he was like in the likeness of Adam? Because we were told, first of all, Cain in Hebrew means acquired. Who would name their first son acquired? Their second son, which is their first son, Abel. Abel in Hebrew means breath. What did God put into Adam to give him a living soul? He gave him a breath.
Oh, I'm getting chills, man.
Abel is named breath. Seth is named in the image of his father. And Cain is named acquired. When you acquire something, which Adam did, because Satan was a beast of the field, all male beasts don't stick around with the female to raise the child. So what God pushed on Adam is, you're going to get out there and sweat by the, you know, by your brow, and you're going to till this soil to take care of your family. So he became Cain's stepfather.
That's right.
He acquired him.
That's right.
And Eve, well, how did she get her name? Her name means mother of all living, with breath like that. Well, nowhere in Scripture does it tell you that Adam is the father of all living.
Mm.
So then you're kind of like, isn't that interesting that Cain goes off into a city and then they start working with these things about how to be better killers. It talks about their ability to use metallurgy, all kinds of things to build walled cities. And then we find in Genesis 6:4 that the sons of God came down upon the daughters of man, and they had children that were considered giants. And, you know, the women were taken. They weren't in holy matrimony. And it killed the women because the babies were so big they could not deliver them. These huge things started destroying the seed line of the true godly seed line that was established, like it says in the curse. You begin to see there's a seed line of Cain, and there's a seed line once Abel was deceased through Seth. And you find all through Scripture, what does it tell you? And everybody always goes, I just cannot take that begat, who begat, who begat, who begat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what, people? Where we thought that was just like, don't even want to read through that, now you know why it was there. Because you needed to know who begat who so that you could see the perfect lineage of Jesus in Matthew and Luke. And they do match. The one in Matthew goes through his father, Joseph, who was his stepfather,
right?
For because that's the way they did the male lineages.
Right.
But Luke was a physician, so he took it through Mary's lineage, which is true, because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary.
Right.
So her stuff goes all the way back. They go all, both of them go all the way back to Seth, through begat, 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 and they're all of the pure lineage that God intended in the garden. But for Satan to get that seed line and for them to have conception, that had to be where it started. Because all of the things that happened at that point in time meant that Cain was totally different. He was acquired. He didn't do anything. He didn't take his first fruits. He was nothing like Adam and Eve. You know, and I'm sure they tried to say, look, this is what happened in the garden, and you're stuck with us, and you've got to do this. And God even told Cain, you know, if you pull your wrath around here and quit being the way you are, if not, the devil's going to completely take you, which he did. He went off. He started doing all this stuff. They engaged themselves with the fallen angels. Those were the sons of God. They were the fallen angels. And when people think, oh, well, now how could they have sex with humans? Go to look at Abraham and Sarah. When those angels showed up, they were men.
Right.
And it tells you in Scripture, you know, entertain strangers, because you could be entertaining angels unaware. When the angels went in to see Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, the people lusted after them because they were in a form of a man.
That's right.
So when people say, oh, they can't have children, where in Scripture does it tell you that an angel cannot do that? There is nowhere in Scripture that tells you that. And they learned, those sons of God learned everything from being fallen angels that followed Satan. He taught them the game plan.
He did teach them the game plan. And Dr. Joy, we're going to do a part two of this next week. So we invite our listeners to tune back in. There is so much more, but this is the foundation you absolutely have to get to understand what is going on in the world today, why we have forces arrayed against us who are trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything that we hold dear. So tune in for part two next week, Heavenly Warriors. Thank you for listening to Heavenly Warriors. You can find the show notes for this episode at heavenlywarriors.com. If you join our mailing list while you're there, we'll send you something free as a thank you. Once again, this podcast is sponsored by my newest book, Boxing Blindfolded with Demons, which can be found at rickbellwriting.com, RickBellWriting.com, and Dr. Joy Jeffrey Pugh's newest book, Beastmark, which can be found at her website, drjoy.com. That's DRJOYE.com. If you liked what you heard, make sure to subscribe to Heavenly Warriors and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, and Audible. Do you know someone who would benefit from the Heavenly Warriors podcast? Please send them a link to this episode. We only grow when our listeners share the podcasts, and we really appreciate it. May God bless you. Until next time.